And I want to talk about joy tonight. True joy. Somebody said true joy. True joy. Let's go to Psalm chapter 30, verse 5. It says, "For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Praise God. So our joy is not here in this life, but our joy is someplace else. Praise God. Some are happy and some are sad tonight. Amen. I'm happy. Praise God. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Praise the Lord. I may as well go ahead and read one more scripture tonight while we're in that mode. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13 through 16. Hebrews 11 and verse 13. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises." Notice there, not even receiving the promises. "But having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly." That's what we desire tonight. "Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." Praise God. We're headed somewhere tonight. We're going somewhere. And whether we see the promises or not, we're still going somewhere. And if your goal is heaven tonight, praise God, it's available for anybody that wants it. Why don't you lift your voice with me tonight and let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the word of God tonight. Thank you for your blessing tonight. God bless you tonight. You can be seated and let's get into the word of the Lord. I don't plan to preach a long time tonight, but I do want to share some of the word with us. And I pray the word of God will have its way and find its mark here tonight. Amen. And one of the things that we need to see in living for the Lord is that we're not going to receive everything in this life. And too many times I have heard it said that it's all blessing, blessing, blessing. But the longer you live for God, the more you realize that there are difficult times that do come from time to time. We could look back at different time periods and the things that the church has gone through. We talk about the time of trouble that is upon us right now. Excuse me. But if we look back in history in the days of the Romans, we've got it pretty easy. Praise God. We don't have coliseums where they feed Christians to the lions while everybody cheers and claps and all of that. And we don't have persecution where all Christians are commanded to give up their property and commanded to leave their country and to basically be vagabonds in the earth. We have not had to go to that place. I'm thankful for that tonight. And I guess that's probably a selfishness on my part. But the Bible says all that will live godly will suffer persecution in this world. And we're seeing persecution that is rising in our world against the church. But I want to say this as well. Don't misunderstand me. For the Lord, living for the Lord is the very best life that we could ever live. Amen. Our testimonies that we have around our campfires are different than the ones that are found around the campfires of the wicked. Praise God. They don't have the testimonies of healing. They don't have the testimonies of victory. They don't have the testimonies of God helping us in miraculous ways. But tonight we have those kind of testimonies. Praise God. We have those kinds of testimonies that we can share with others. And I truly, truly believe tonight there's no better way to live than to live for the Lord. Amen. And we have promises tonight, promises of joy, promises of peace. Amen. Many other promises that are in the Word of God. And the Bible says that they are all yea and amen to the glory of God. They're not yea or nay, meaning yes or no, but they are yes according to the will of God. Praise the Lord. I've got some promises I'm hanging on to. And the greatest promise that I have is the promise of heaven, the promise of eternal salvation, amen, the promise of a better life than what we have here in this world. Thank God that we're here, and thank God we have this opportunity, but this is not the landing point. Amen. Praise God. And there are so many promises in the Word of God that really, if you hang on to those promises and believe God for those promises, life will become an adventure. Amen. For so many, it's get up in the morning, get ready, go to work, come home, go to bed, watch the tube. Amen. Get up in the morning, go to work, come home, get ready for bed, watch the tube. Amen. And it's just a repeat over and over and over again. And that's all that life is for them. But we've got a whole lot more that we're living for. Praise God. And we often forget the coming joy that God has for us. And I want to talk about that tonight as the true joy. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and we have joy as we walk with God. But there are times that we forget about the coming joy. And in doing so, we expect that all joy is going to come in this life, that it's all going to come in this time. And it will not. We have a promise tonight that there will be issues, there will be situations, there will be tribulations and persecutions and all kinds of different things that we have to look forward to. Praise God. And that sounds a little bit negative, doesn't it? But it's the reality. Praise God. Because you see tonight, walking by faith does not guarantee that everything's going to go right all the time. Right as far as we think right is. But when we walk by faith, everything's going right according to the way the Lord looks at it. Amen. Praise God. And in fact, we can be full of faith and be right in the midst of trials and tribulations. Amen. And yet, true faith is something that looks ahead. And I read that in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off." Praise God. They were not near. The promises were not near, but they saw them afar off. They had gotten a hold of something, amen, that was not the here and now, but it was something that was off in the future. I know we have to deal with the here and now, and the Lord has put us in this environment that we're in, and we have to deal with what we're having to deal with right now. We can't ignore these things that come against us, but we have something that helps us through those times where we're at right now, and that is the coming joy. Amen, the coming joy. And Hebrews 11 there, it says that they all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them. And that's where we need to be in walking with the Lord, is we've got to be persuaded that the promise of heaven is real. Amen. that we have a God that is with us. Praise God. Not only were they persuaded of them, they embraced them. They brought it into their bosom, if you please. And they said, I've got something I'm living for. It's not anything that anybody can see, but it's on the inside. I have embraced this. And then after persuasion and embracing, amen, there is confessing. And they confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Praise God. We are headed somewhere tonight, church. Amen. If you live for God, you're headed for somewhere great, and that's where the true joy is going to come. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. And the morning is not necessarily a 24-hour period, amen, but the morning is when we make it all the way to heaven. Amen. The morning is going to be that wake-up morning, as that songwriter wrote, that great waking up morning when the dead in Christ shall rise. Praise God. That's going to be the morning that we're talking about here. Amen. Joy is going to come in the morning. And, you know, we're going to meet him in the clouds. Praise God. He's going to have to do something because I'm afraid of heights. Amen. But I think he's going to take care of that situation. And I'm not afraid to be in an airplane, but it's not going to be in an airplane. We're going to be up there in the clouds somewhere, looking down upon terra firma earth. And I'll tell you what, when you're up high like that, things look a whole lot different. Praise God. They really do. You can leave the earth. You can be here on the ground and look up at the news, and there's all kinds of problems and troubles, and you're looking for a parking space, and you got to go through the counter and all of the things that you've got to do, be checked before you get on the airplane. But I love it when you're up about 30,000 feet, and you can look down, and that farmer that's got a one-mile diameter corn crop, that round circle, amen, it's got a color to it, and it's a different color than the square beside it. And you can see a river going down through there, and hills and valleys and all of that. It's got a different look to it altogether. Praise God. And they declare plainly, I'm going somewhere. Amen. And we're going to go somewhere, and don't worry about the fear of heights. God's going to take care of all of that. Praise God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. You know, there's many today that don't understand or consider the joy that's going to appear in the morning. And if we don't have a understanding of the future joy that is coming, then our thoughts concerning joy are only going to be here and now. They're only going to be the present moment and the present time. But as apostolics, as children of God tonight, we've got to be able to look upward and beyond where we are here tonight and where you are in your life. Amen. Because if all we look at is joy for the moment or satisfaction for the moment, if everything goes all right, we're happy. But if things don't go all right, then we're not happy. Amen. And we are witnessing an election in our country that I believe is just based solely and completely on feelings. Right. Amen. Amen. And that's scary that there are so many people in the land that are led by their feelings. Feelings and facts don't go together usually. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And of all people, I believe we need to be stable people. Amen. I believe we need to have a solid foundation upon which we stand. Somebody said amen. 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 When I talk about stable. I'm talking about finding a realistic level of understanding of life. Not too high, not too low, but somewhere in the middle. Amen. I believe it was James Dobson that was talking on the radio one time. I was listening to him. And he said something I thought was really interesting. And he talked about folks that were married that were breaking up. And he talked about, you know, if a man gets where he doesn't like his wife, doesn't love his wife anymore, and he goes and he finds somebody else. And he leaves the other behind. And he said they were living in a line. And on that line, there was laundry to take care of. On that line, there was food to prepare. On that line, there was a job to go to. And all of those things that have to be done on a regular basis. It's that line right there. But along the way, somebody started looking up higher above that line and said, I want more than what God has given me, and I'm going to reach out for something else. And they reach out for something else, and they find out eventually, and it really doesn't take very long, that there's still laundry to do. There's still food to prepare. There's still a job to go to. And they end up back at the very same place and where they started. Amen. So I say tonight, we just need to be happy right there all the time. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. You got to mow your grass unless you got Hunter doing it for you. Amen. And in that case, you got to go to work and raise enough money to pay him to come and take care of that for you. Praise God. And there is that line. And I'm thankful today that God has given us a hope beyond this life. Amen. And that we have something to look forward to. Not too high, not too low in this life, but right there in the middle somewhere. And then every now and then when we come to the house of the Lord, we get a glimpse of the future. Just like in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 10, Jacob went out from Beersheba and went unto Haran. And you have to ask the question, why was he there? Why did Jacob end up out in the desert somewhere all by himself? Well, it was because he wanted to get above that line. And he lied and he stole and he cheated. And things did not go well for him. You know, we can't get ahead just by doing whatever we want to do. We must follow the principles of God for those things to be long-lasting. Somebody said amen. Amen. Especially those of you that have been living for the Lord for a while. Amen. You understand tonight that in order for us to come up higher, we've got to be faithful when we're down lower. Amen. Well, praise God. Jesus said, if you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in much. And I don't think the Lord will bless us with much if we can't handle it. Amen. And so we've got to be ready to handle the little things that we have. Amen. And so Jacob's out here in the middle of nowhere. And he comes to a place called, and he named it Bethel. And he laid down. He must have really been tired because he used rocks for pillows. Amen. And he laid down and he fell asleep in that forgotten place. And in his sleep, he saw a vision and there was a ladder ascending up to heaven. And there were angels ascending and descending. And Jacob said, the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. He's right here. I just thought I was on my way through life, and all of a sudden the Lord appeared to me, and I saw the angels, and I could hear the voice of the Lord from the top coming down to me. Amen. He said, I'm going to name this place Bethel. And the name Bethel means the house of God. It was a forerunner of the church. And then later he renamed it to be El Bethel, which is the God of the house of God. And he got a vision of something that's higher. And what we've got to do when we come to the house of God, as a pastor, it is my responsibility and my opportunity to try to help us to see things that are higher. Praise God. I'm not here tonight to preach a prosperity message where you blab it and grab it, amen, where you just speak it out and it's going to be created, amen. I'm here tonight to help us to stay on that line somewhere right there in the middle. Praise God. I desire revival, but I'm telling you, I've lost a lot of Bible studies that I've taught, and my joy is not completely in winning people to God. Amen. My joy is not in the position that I hold as pastor. My joy is not in the things that I have amassed in this life. Amen. And I'm thankful for all of them. But the joy goes above and beyond what we have right now. And it needs to go above and beyond. It's found in the house of God. I'm thankful for the house of God tonight. I really am. Amen. I'm thankful for the house of God. And the reason he was there is because he tried to get above that line illegally. Amen. He tried to get things that were good by doing things that were bad. And it will never, ever work. You can try until your last breath, but it will never work. There's only one place where we can find joy, and that's in serving the Lord. Somebody said amen. Amen. Talking about true joy. Amen. The joy that is to come. Amen. And David saw the same thing in Psalm chapter 73 and verse 1. And I want us to turn there tonight. Psalm chapter 73 and verse 1. I didn't print out the entire verses here that I want to bring out. So I actually have to open my Bible and read it tonight. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm glad we don't put our scriptures up on the wall. Because I want us looking down at our Bible instead of looking up at a wall. All right, well, let's look at it here. Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Amen. But as for me, somebody said, as for me. As for me. As for me. Woe, we could say, woe is me right there. And as for me, my feet had almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish. Now, you read all the way down a ways here, and David began to look at things other than future joy. He began to look at things that he thought was going to make him happy right now, and he became jealous, and he began to be disheartened, and he was envious, the Bible says, and we'll never gain by being envy or envious, amen, and especially at the foolish. He said, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And we're seeing that now. We're seeing, and I can't understand or comprehend this, but we are seeing more and more billionaires in our world. Billionaires. That's, if you had $1 million, that would be 1,000 of those $1 million. Right. Yeah, we don't understand what that means. You could never spend that in a lifetime. But there are those that are billionaires with $100 billion. And from what I understand, there is one person at least in the world that is a trillionaire. And that's a lot of money. And we can look at it, and we can look at our attendance to the house of God on our church on 12th and Henry in Augusta, Kansas. A little speck on the map when you get up to Google Maps or Google Earth. It's just a little speck right there. And we can look like David did at the foolish. And I'll tell you what, it is foolishness. It is foolishness to think that you can do whatever you want to do because you've got the money to do it. And he began to look at them. He said, there's no bands in their death, verse 4. Their strength is firm. Verse 5, they're not in trouble as other men. Oh, yeah. There's a difference between the rich and the poor. And don't let anybody tell you different, because that's the truth. Neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. And David went on and on, and finally he said, it was just too painful for me. Verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end, or understood I their end. Everybody said their end. Not only do we need to consider their end, but what we need to consider is our end, where we are going to end up, where we are headed. It's not where you're at that's so important. It's the direction that you're headed that is so very, very important. Praise God. And where did he get a hold of this vision and this knowledge? He got it at the house of God. Thank God for the house of God. And David came back to a place where he was on that line again. Oh, thank God for the mountaintops. I love the mountaintops. Thank God for the valleys, I think. Praise the Lord. And sometimes we can see the end of that one, but sometimes we can't. Amen. Thank God for everything that he's given us. But what we've got to see tonight, church, is the future joy that God is going to give us. Amen. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 17. I want to read a little bit from this. Isaiah 65 and verse 17. And you can read this also, I believe, in the book of Revelation. It's almost word for word. He said, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. For the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Praise God. So it doesn't matter if you've got a lot when you leave this world. Doesn't matter if you don't have anything when you leave this world. You're not going to remember what you had or that you didn't have. You're not going to remember the troubles or trials or tribulations that came your way. Amen. Those things are not going to be remembered. Thank God. It wouldn't be heaven if we remembered all those things. It says, but be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. Praise God. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall no more thence an infant of days. And he goes on and he talks about the 1,000 years of peace upon the earth. Praise God. But I'm telling you tonight, friend, our joy is not all together in the things that we possess here and now. John chapter 16 and verse 20. Sister Reed, would you come tonight? Amen. John 16 and verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament. Now look at the contrast that Jesus is giving us here. That you shall weep and lament. Amen. I think about that sometimes when I see our young men in the altar, laying on the floor, just weeping and leaving tears in the carpet. I think about that when I think about some of the others here tonight. And when you come and you are striving, you can see it on your face, the wrinkled brow and the problems and the troubles and situations. And you could be tempted tonight to think that you're the only one that's going through trials and tribulations. But I'm here to tell you, I'm here to tell all of us, amen, that there will be a time of weeping and lamenting, but the world shall rejoice. And so while we're here calling on the Lord, There's folks at home tonight playing their video games and having a good old time. They think it's a good old time. While we're here tonight worshiping the Lord and hearing from the pastor, from the Word of God, amen. There are those in the world that are shouting and worshiping and dancing and all of that. And he said, and you shall be sorrowful. We're going to be sorrowful here in this life, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Somebody said joy.
Joy.
And he gives us an example of this. And he said, a woman when she is in travail hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye there now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Isn't that encouraging tonight? Let's stand together right now. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. We're in a time of travail in this world. And thank God for all the blessings that he's given to us. I thank God for my home. I thank God for my wife. I thank God for my children. I thank God for everything that he's given me. Because it all has come from him. But I'm telling you tonight, my fullness of joy is not in that. It's not in that. Oh, I'm getting pretty excited, and I hope it all happens. But somewhere here in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to get to see my little Zay-Zay. That's what I call Isaiah, Zay-Zay. Amen. And we're just going to have a good time. If we've got just a few days together, we're just going to do whatever, and we're going to have a good time. Praise the Lord. The whole world is going to stop for a while. Amen. We're going to eat, drink, and be merry.
Amen.
But I do know that when it's over with and they're driving down the driveway to go back home, it's going to temper all of that joy.
Amen.
Oh, it'll still be there. Amen. I find myself sitting down looking at the phone, pulling up some of those videos that Netta sends me. The one I've been looking at here lately is where he's singing his Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Has everybody seen Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star? If you haven't seen me after church, I'll show you Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. I'm telling you what, he's going to be a singer. And while he was singing, he was touching the keys on the piano. He's going to be a piano player and a singer in Jesus' name. That's right. Well, praise God. God's going to bless them. Amen. And I'm praying for their blessing. But my joy is not there. My fullness of joy is not there. Amen. The good things that have happened, and this week some really good things happened. We can look back and say, look at how the Lord blessed us right there.
Amen.
Look at what God did right here. Amen. Things are looking on the up and up, but I'm telling you what, there's going to be a day. There's going to be a day when it's all said and done. Amen. There's going to be a day when we look at that calendar and say, I'm how old this year? How did that come upon me so quickly?
Amen.
Amen. I don't know for sure, but I think I'm the oldest one here tonight. Amen. That doesn't mean that I'm old. I'm just the oldest. No, Brother Keith is older than me. I didn't see him standing right there. Right in front of me. Amen. How did we get here, Brother Keith? How did we get here so quickly? It seems like yesterday. Amen. Still remember things that went on in high school. Still remember some things that went on in grade school. And here we are. Amen. Some of you young folks think you're going to live forever. You're not going to live forever. Amen. We can have our goals and our dreams and, we can dream about our Bugattis. Is that what that is? A Bugatti? We can dream about those things. Amen. But I've seen here and there somebody that bought something like that, several hundred thousand or several million dollars for a car, and they drove it off of the lot and went racing down the road and crashed and destroyed the whole car.
Amen.
Praise God. So I guess you just go out and buy another one, right? I guess some people can do that.
Amen.
Amen. But give me a little bit of money like that and I'm going to invest it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to hang on to it. Praise God. Not going to waste it on a car. Amen. I'll just go rent one for a week. Pay them $10,000 to rent one for a week and say, I've been there and done that. Praise the Lord.